Hey, this is Kyle Eidelman from Southeast Christian Church, and I want to thank you for listening to the message today. As we open up the scriptures together, I pray that this message inspires you, challenges you, and is the right word at just the right time in your life. Enjoy the message.
Hey there, I'm Bryson Cook, and I am the Franklin Campus Pastor. It is so great to be here with you all this morning. You know, if there's one thing that I know about us as humanity, it's that something stirs within us when we hear a good story, right? Especially the story of an unlikely hero, like someone rising out of obscurity to save the world or overcome evil or make an impact that they never could have dreamed of. You know, it's the picture of an ordinary teenage girl from District 12 who's just trying to protect her sister, and all of a sudden she's a symbol of hope for thousands. Or it's a frustrated farm boy staring into the desert sunset, wondering if there was just more to life than this, and all of a sudden he grows up to be a Jedi Master. Or it's a simple hobbit living a quiet life that goes on to liberate an entire realm from the clutches of evil. You know, all of these stories, as different as they are, they paint a picture of the same kind of person, someone who could have never imagined the impact that they would one day have, someone who couldn't see the full story when it began, someone who didn't know how their ordinary lives would become part of something much bigger than themselves. You know, and for many of us, I truly believe this, like we want these stories to be our stories. Because deep down, we all want to know that our lives matter. God can use us to impact and change the lives of those around us, that our ordinary lives are part of something much bigger than ourselves. And yet, if we're being honest, most of us, I think, struggle to believe that. I've seen it in my own life. Like, we believe that God uses people, yeah, but we're just not convinced he wants to use us. We look at our lives and see our ordinary routines and jobs and responsibilities and struggles, and it's easy to think that real significance and impact belong to someone else, the heroes of other stories. Like, surely those that seem more gifted or more qualified or more spiritual than us. But we open up to the book of Exodus. Like this incredible story of God delivering his people from slavery through the leadership of a man named Moses. It's a book full of burning bushes and miracles and split seas. And yet, before there's ever a bush on fire, or before the sea itself is ripped in half, before Moses becomes one of the greatest leaders in all of Scripture, there's simply a little baby in a basket. Because here's the thing, one of the great themes of Scripture is that God loves to raise up the unexpected leader, the ordinary person, the seemingly unlikely people the world looks over, the people who don't yet see what he sees or know what he's doing. Like, that's who he changes the world through. And so over the next 4 weeks, we're going to be working through the book of Exodus in a series that we're calling The Unexpected Leader, exploring how God uses ordinary people and ordinary places to make an extraordinary difference for his kingdom. Now, if you were to walk into a bookstore and browse through the section titled Leadership, you'll find 1,000 different definitions of what a leader is. But through a gospel lens, quite simply, leadership is not about position or platform or qualifications or being up to date on the latest trends. Leadership is really all about influence. Like, to lead is to influence, to inspire, to point others towards a vision or a goal or a way of life, whether you know you're consciously, actively doing it or not. And for followers of Jesus, that looks like leading people towards relationship and life with him. This is what this means. Leadership isn't reserved for the few people with the right title or the biggest stage. Like, it's a call on every one of us, and it branches into every sphere of influence that God places you in. Like, whether you recognize it or not, you're leading in how you're shaping the emotional and spiritual atmosphere of your home for your spouse and your kids. Or the decisions that you make influence the culture every day in your workplace. Or how you're helping your friends believe and value and pursue different things. Like, that's leadership. Listen, the question that we want to hone in on in this series isn't, am I a leader? The question is, hey, what kind of leader am I? Because your life is always leading and pointing somewhere. And the people most influenced by your life, like your kids, your spouse, your friends, like, they're watching. and they're following your leading even when you don't realize it. And the greatest truth ultimately behind your leadership and influence is that God is always moving and working as the ultimate leader in whose image you're made, forming you more and more into the leader that you were made to be. And the book of Exodus opens showing us that reality, that before Moses ever has a title, before he ever speaks a word, before anyone else sees God working through him, God is already shaping people and circumstances that are pointing his life towards something long before he'll ever see it. You know, in this first week, what we're going to see is God is constantly working behind the scenes, preparing his unexpected leader for unexpected things and how he might be moving and preparing you. If you've been with us this year, as we've studied through the book of Genesis, you'll remember how it ends. God's working powerfully through a man named Joseph to save his family, to bring them into a place of stability in Egypt. And then you turn the page to Exodus, and right away, the story shifts. It goes like this. Eventually, a new king came to power in Egypt who knew nothing about Joseph or what he had done. Joseph's forgotten, history's ignored, a new pharaoh rises to power, and feels threatened by the growing population of Israelites. And immediately, things go dark for God's people. Look, the people of Israel now outnumber us and are stronger than we are. We must make a plan to keep them from growing even more. Maybe your translation might say that Pharaoh wanted to deal shrewdly with Israel. And if you've been tracking the language of Genesis, like, that should stop you for a second, because all the way back in Genesis 3, the serpent who tempted Adam and Eve in the garden is described with that same language of shrewd and crafty. You know, like the cobra symbol that often adorned the headdresses of Egyptian kings, like, Pharaoh here in Genesis 1 sounds less like a king and more like the serpent from the garden, targeting God's people. And he steps into the same pattern from Genesis 4. Just like Cain allowed insecurity to turn into violence when his brother's blessing felt like a threat, like, Pharaoh responds to Israel's blessing and growth with fear. And unchecked fear quickly becomes oppression, and the blessing of others turns into personal insecurity. It goes this way. So the Egyptians made the Israelites their slaves. They appointed brutal slave drivers over them, hoping to wear them down with crushing labor, and worked the people of Israel without mercy, forcing them to mix mortar and make bricks and do all of the work in the fields. They were ruthless in their demands. We're keeping the Genesis themes going, because if some words sound familiar there, the only other time that bricks and mortar have appeared in the Bible up to this point was all the way back in Genesis 11 with the building of Babylon and the Tower of Babel. The picture of humanity building a monument to their own power in defiance of God, the picture that Exodus 1 is so clearly demonstrating about Egypt is this, that with their snake-like king of violence, they're operating like another Babylon. Like, this is arguably the most bleak moment for God's people up to this point in the story outside of Genesis 3 itself. And yet, look at this one line that refuses to let the darkness have the final word in this moment. But the more the Egyptians oppressed them, the more the Israelites multiplied and spread. The more that Pharaoh builds oppression, God is behind the scenes building his people and his unexpected leader. You know, most of us don't feel like we're probably in the midst of like a dramatic story of impact and difference making right now, with God preparing or positioning you in leadership and influence. Like, if we're being really honest, most of us just feel like we're probably making bricks. You show up to the job and it feels repetitive and draining. Or you come home and you're exhausted and you wonder if anything that you do matters. You pray for your marriage, but nothing seems to shift. You watch your child make choices that you know will bring pain, and all it seems like you can do is pray. Listen, if you're being really honest, maybe you've started to ask these types of questions of, God, where are you? If you're working, if you're really behind the scenes and all this, like, why can't I see it? And my prayer is this, that if you find yourself there, listen, Exodus 1 tells you another story. Silence does not mean God is absent. That what looks like delay might actually be God moving and preparing in ways that you can't yet see or wouldn't expect. Like, Israel looks hopeless in chapter 1. Pharaoh seems to be winning. And yet, it's clear that God is orchestrating things behind the scenes, moving his people towards something that they can't yet envision or imagine. Like the invitation of prayer in this season isn't, God, show me the roadmap, give me all the answers, but instead, God, give me the power to just trust that you are working even now, even if I can't see it. Your life, listen, is always leading and pointing somewhere, even when you cannot yet see the direction, because God moves and is active even when we can't see it. Well, Pharaoh realizes that crushing labor alone isn't slowing the growth of the Israelites, and so he begins to escalate things even more. Then Pharaoh gave this order to the Hebrew midwives, Shifra and Pua. Hey, when you help the Hebrew women as they give birth, what I want you to do is watch as they deliver. And if the baby is a boy, kill him. And if it's a girl, let her live. You know, Pharaoh's plan is this: let's eliminate the next generation of Israelite men before they can become any kind of military threat. But ironically, while Pharaoh's worried about the men, he should have been paying closer attention to the ladies. But because the midwives feared God, they refused to obey the king's orders. They allowed the boys to live. And so the king of Egypt called for the midwives. Hey, why have you done this? Why have you allowed the boys to live? Hebrew women are not like Egyptian women, the midwives replied. They're more vigorous and they have their babies so quickly that we cannot get there in time. So listen, God was good to the midwives, and the Israelites continued to multiply, growing more and more powerful. There's a beautiful inversion happening here that often we miss. You know, back in Genesis 3, we're given the picture of a woman who listens to the voice of the serpent and turned away from God. But here, these two women hear the voice of the serpent-like king, and they refuse to listen. They stay faithful. They choose to trust God over Pharaoh. And there's even this detail that I don't want us to miss. Shifra and Pua, these two simple, ordinary midwives, they are named and remembered in scripture all throughout history. But yet, the most powerful king in the world at the time, like, he goes unnamed through this entire book. Like, where the world remembers and honors power and status, like, God values and honors faithful obedience. In God's kingdom, true leadership and lasting impact, it's never ultimately about platform or position. It's about faithfulness in the ordinary moments. It's trusting God even when no one important is watching. Like, God quietly moves through exactly that kind of ordinary, faithful obedience. Like, that's ultimately the upside down nature of leadership in God's kingdom. Like, it doesn't always look like the visibility or the recognition. It's not even always knowing the long-term impact that you're making. It's a simple picture of always doing the next right thing of what he asks. You know, to illustrate this, if you were to take a moment and think about the people who have most shaped or impacted your life, like, your mind probably doesn't go to the celebrity or the Instagram influencer or the politician as the leaders that you've looked to. Like, who comes to mind, I'm sure, is a parent or a teacher or a coach or a grandparent or a friend. The person who, like, consistently showed up in the ordinary moments. The person who believed in you. The person whose life was pointing somewhere worth following. Like, the most powerful leadership, don't miss this, that you may do may never happen on a stage full of applause or in front of a camera with an ever-growing Instagram following. But instead, it may happen in the moment that you refuse to join the gossip at work, or when you choose patience when you're exhausted, or when you apologize when your pride just wanted to justify, or when you let your kids watch you choose forgiveness instead of bitterness, or maybe when you stay faithful when compromise feels so much easier. You might think, listen, that no one notices those moments, but I promise you, the people closest to you do, and ultimately heaven does. Like, your life is always leading and pointing somewhere, especially in the ordinary faithfulness, because God moves by using ordinary people to advance his purposes. As we continue in the story, Pharaoh isn't done. The midwives have outmaneuvered him, and so he once again escalates things, this time to a horrifying degree. He doesn't whisper an order to a couple women in a back room. He goes public to all of Egypt. Hey, every Israelite baby boy is to be thrown into the Nile River, drowned, no exceptions. Like, this is the darkest the story has gotten to this point. God's people are enslaved, their children are being killed. And yet right into the middle of the darkness, as God has been moving and working through ordinary faithfulness and obedience, a baby is born. About this time, a man and woman from the tribe of Levi got married. The woman became pregnant and gave birth to a son. Notice how the text sets this up. There's no fanfare, there's no announcement or baby shower full of gifts, just a baby boy born in secret into the most dangerous moment imaginable for any Israelite family. And yet, watch how the text does introduce this baby. He was a special baby. Words that I'm sure you've heard from every parent. But the Hebrew word there in particular is the word tov. It's the word good. The same word that God speaks over and over in Genesis 1 as he looks at creation. Don't miss this. Moses is introduced as a continuation of God's good unfolding story. Like Pharaoh may be trying all his might to erase things, but God's story is still being written. And so Moses' mom kept him hidden for 3 months. And just for a minute, even as God is working behind the scenes and working through the faithful obedience of ordinary people, I want you to think about the reality of what those 3 months would have brought. That every cry would have created a sense of panic, that every knock at the door raised fear, that every day carried real life or death risk. And eventually, the baby that she's held and fed and prayed over and sung to in secret has grown too big to hide any longer. And his mother is led to a moment where faith means releasing what she cannot control any longer into the hands of the God that she trusts. And so she got a basket made of papyrus reeds and waterproofed it with tar and pitch. And she put the baby in the basket and laid it among the reeds along the bank of the Nile River. There's a detail here worth pausing on. The word used here for basket, it's not the ordinary Hebrew word for basket. It's only used twice, really, in all of Scripture. And so to nerd out with us, listen, the only other time that this very word is used is the same word to describe Noah's Ark. Both are even waterproofed the same way if you were to flip back to Genesis 6 with tar and pitch. God once preserved Noah through the waters in an ark, and now he preserves Moses through the waters that were supposed to be his death, but he's preserving Moses now in his own little ark. And God is carrying out another story of deliverance in the midst of chaos. As we read on, Moses is found in his basket by none other than, guess who, the daughter of Pharaoh himself, the very man trying to kill him. And he's taken in by her and raised right under Pharaoh's nose in his own palace. You might wonder, how did she pull that off? Well, in fact, the name that Pharaoh's daughter gives him, Moses, could really be another act of God's deliverance in this moment. Like in Hebrew, that name means to draw out a picture of her pulling him out of the Nile River. And one day, if you think about it so beautifully, like he would be a part of drawing God's people out of Egypt. But in Egyptian, Moses also had a meaning as a name. It meant son of, with no father identified. It's almost as if Moses' name allowed him to live in obscurity in the palace. Like belonging to both worlds, learning Egyptian language and customs and power structures right under Pharaoh's nose that God would use in ways that no one could have planned. Guys, only God can work like this. Like working behind the scenes and through ordinary faithfulness while also positioning us perfectly in places and environments like a basket in the river or the palace of the enemy in environments that will prepare us for a calling and an influence that he has for us and our families or our schools or our workplaces or even our church. Even taking destruction and pain in our lives and somehow bringing out life from it. Many of us maybe can recognize that pattern in our own lives. Like it's the job you thought that was just a paycheck where actually you learned how to lead and develop people. Or it's the disappointment that you never asked for that taught you compassion. Or it's the season that you begged God to remove that developed a strength and a dependency on him that you didn't know you needed and allowed you to share with others what he's given you. Guess God wastes nothing. He wastes neither pain nor waiting nor disappointment. He often uses the very thing that we understand the least in our lives to prepare us for what he intends to do through us. And before God does something through a leader, he almost always positions them perfectly to do something in that leader for their calling. Your life, Southeast, is always leading and pointing somewhere, especially in the places that God currently has you planted, because God moves by positioning us perfectly before he calls us. Katniss Everdeen, Luke Skywalker, Frodo Baggins. Here's what's true about every single one of those stories. The leader never saw it coming in terms of how their lives would play out and ultimately the leader that they would become. Their stories, if you think about it, they didn't begin with a dramatic announcement or a commissioning ceremony. They began in an ordinary place with ordinary lives and ordinary problems with preparation they could not see. And in the same way, Exodus 1 and 2 begin and end rather quietly. Hey, there's no burning bush. There's no plagues. There's no sea splitting open yet. Just a baby in a basket floating in a river and being brought into Pharaoh's palace. But behind it all, God was working even when it didn't seem like it. And working through the courage of two women most people would have never noticed, and through a faithful mother along the banks of the Nile and a household of the enemy king, like quietly positioning his unexpected leader for something no one could have scripted. And honestly, like that's the story he may be writing in your life right now. Like some of us are waiting for the moment when everything seems to finally make sense. Like when our lives finally feel like we've reached that place of impactful mattering and influence and service for the kingdom. Like, hey, once I get the promotion or once the kids are old enough and I have more time or once life settles down, like then I'll really know what God has for me and be ready to step out boldly. Because listen, God was already active, already using ordinary people and already positioning Moses long before Moses could possibly have any idea. And God is active even when you can't see it. And he uses those ordinary people, people just like you, to lead and advance his purposes through faithfulness. And he may just be positioning you right now in this season, in these circumstances, for something only he can see, where you will influence and inspire and point others around you in your spheres of life to Jesus in ways that you don't realize even the impact of. Listen, your life, Southeast, is already leading and pointing somewhere right now. Like in this season, in this job, these family dynamics, this neighborhood, this marriage, every choice, every conversation, every decision, everything you intentionally and unintentionally model to those around you. And in this season of waiting or exhaustion or clinging to faithfulness, your life is already leading and pointing somewhere. And he may be using this very season to shape the kind of influence that one day, uniquely through you, points others towards Jesus in some of the simplest yet powerful ways that you can't begin to imagine. The question is never, hey, am I a leader? The question is, what kind of leader am I? Or rather, what kind of leader may God be forming me more and more into? Let's pray. God, we thank you. We thank you that you are the ultimate leader who works behind the scenes, who works through ordinary faithfulness, who positions us in perfect places to be formed and shaped more and more into the leaders that you have called us to be and made us to be. And so, Father, we thank you for the words of Exodus today, of the story of the Israelites in Egypt and Moses as a baby. We pray that these would be truths that we cling to, that we hold on to and have eyes open to the ways that you may be moving, even when we can't see it, even when we least expect it. Help us to have eyes to see the world around us, that we are all leaders, and that we, through the power of your Spirit, have the ability to step into places and spaces and make an impact for the kingdom even now. Father, we love you. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening. If today's message made you realize you need to take your next step with Jesus, we would love to help you with that. You can connect with us on any of our social media platforms throughout the week or visit our website at southeastchristian.org. And if you want to hear more content like this, you can check out our Sermons podcast or our One at a Time podcast. Both can be found everywhere podcasts are available. Have a great week.